Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in on this fancy Thursday. This fancy-ass Thursday here. 105.1 The Fan.
A little fancy Thursday.
1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app. Wherever you're paying attention to us, we preach. We preach. I woke up this morning thinking I was going to have a great day today, but the fact that Aaron Boone hasn't been fired yet makes me think I'm not going to have a great day.
Wow, somebody getting fired is going to make you happy?
If you listen to the Hot Corner over the last decade, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
Nope.
I have been screaming for Aaron Boone to get fired for the last 6-7 years. For some reason, they don't think it should happen. I don't know what's wrong. Yankee fan in the stadium screaming at Anthony Volpe to swing his bat was one of the coolest things I've seen. On top of the fact that David Ortiz was interviewing Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Vladdy kept saying, "The Yankees lose. The Yankees lose."
Love it.
So I was excited to wake up this morning, and now I'm less excited.
I mean, I woke up at the butt crack of dawn, so that was great. Little story time.
How is the butt crack of dawn?
Number one, haven't been up since in a long time, you know, before the sun came up. Number two, holy crap, it was cold this morning. It was 38 degrees when I got in my truck and I went, I walked out without the jacket on. I went, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah, I think I lived in 42 degrees this morning.
Yeah, I was up at 5:30, so...
I'm just stoked that I don't think I got to mow the lawn today because the grass is too wet.
Too wet, yeah. It's nice little... I can't, you know?
I really need to.
Yeah, I know. My front yard's the only thing growing is the weeds. But I will say the grass is like looking at least green underneath it. But... went to the Sleep Token concert last night. Got home just before midnight, so that was a nice little save. I was really worried. Yeah, there we go. Opener, just absolutely awesome. This band called Thornhill. I was like, I didn't know who they were. They put on this band from Australia. Yeah, a lot of that. After during the opening act, I went out and tried to sneak into the merch line. Got myself a little Sleep Token hat, nice little snapback that I really like. I come back down and I'm sitting in my seats. And I looked down on the floor. So we're like, I want to say, I think we're 6 rows off the floor. Great tickets last night. And I see this large man, very large man.
Large man.
Large man. With
like Sukanic large?
Very, 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 very similar
okay.
to Sukanic type large. Large man with a bald head and a giant Nordic beard. And I was like, Sook! What are you doing? Old Sook shows up on the floor with his buddy, you know, 6 rows in front of me. And I'm like, I didn't think this was your jam.
What does it look like I'm doing? Having some pizza, learning about history.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And his buddy was there with him. And I'm like, do you know? And he steps in and he goes, he has no idea. Absolutely zero. He's like, has never listened to it on Spotify. Nothing. This is just going to be an experience. So I'm sitting there, and I can the entire concert. I can see Sook, and I'm like, I wonder how he's going. I wonder what he's like, because this is not like, this isn't full on death metal, but like there's a little screaming in it. It's definitely intense.
He's got a pretty wide range of music. I mean, his favorite band of all time is Metallica.
Yeah, so
keep that in mind.
So he does get down, but he also gets down with some stuff that's just you wouldn't probably expect.
Billy Joel.
Yeah,
he also loves Billy Joel.
So I'm looking down there and I see
doesn't love Billy Joel.
I see the lasers.
My wife. That's
there you. Go. I see the laser light show reflecting off that bald dome, and I see a lot of head bobbing. Old Sook looked like he was having himself a good old time.
That man knows how to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been out with him a couple times. Yeah. He knows how to have fun. But we had a great time at the Pickles game.
Look, man, Pickles game's Pickles game, right? So my man was vibing. I was like, yeah, they put on an incredible show. I will say, tight set.
Mm.
They not a lot of break in between songs. They just kind of kept it going. They were done at basically 10:34, I think. I was talking to one of the security guys that I know from the Blazers who's, you know, they work these too. I'm like, what time? He's like, they're tight, 10:30. I'm like, oh, for real?
Couldn't be further from my concert experiences. You can't look up the set list because everybody I go see makes it up as they go along.
Mm.
And they play till curfew. So if you say 11, they're done at 11.
See, they probably could have kept this thing going. I will say, this is not a disappointment factor because the concert was insane. They are so good live. You know, when you're a little like, how is this band going to sound live?
I've been disappointed more times than I thought by bands that I really thought wouldn't be bad live.
Yep, and these
it sucks.
These guys were even better live. They're so talented, as musicians. Mm. It was staggering. It was like, oh, there's no backing tracks. There's no drum click. Like these guys are getting it. And I was like, okay, this is a great, great, great show. But the only again, this is my only criticism is, you know, we grew up going to concerts where, you know, at different stops they do different things. You know what I mean? They have like a, hey, we're gonna add a little spice here. We're gonna do this song here. Like that's what kind of makes a tour.
Yep.
They just got up there. They played the set list and that was it. They didn't deviate from anything. That was my only, like, kind of wish they would have thrown, like, one more in there or changed the set list or, you know, just done a little something different. But, like, it's not a disappointment because the show was awesome. 10 out of 10.
Well, the only flip side of that, some of the bands that I see, you know, I see a lot of jam bands live. And so they tend to mix up big catalog. And they'll jam out for a long time. So you never know what the time crunch is going to be for stuff. It's a really weird feeling when it is always made up for the night of, because, you know, if you're in the area, like I like to be in the pit area a lot for some of these bands.
Sure.
And you're around the same people that love the band as much as you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that anticipation of 45 seconds in between each song.
Yeah.
Of what's going to be playing next. And it sometimes ruins the moment when they start playing a song and someone's like, oh, man, I don't want to hear this song.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, man, shut up.
Yeah.
I like this song. And so that's my only negative about the mix up on the set list stuff. But what I do love about bands that do set lists is I know when I can walk out the door.
Yeah, they close with two bangers. So there was no walking out.
Because like when I went and saw Creed, I had no business being at a Creed concert. Mm. But when I went and saw Creed, Higher was the song before the encore. And we were like, let's do this. And we boogied out.
Yeah, we stayed just to, like, for a beat to see if they were going to do an encore. Because they got a standing ovation as they left. Like, are they going to come back out? And then, you know, then the backing track starts and the lights come on. We're like, all right, let's go. Boom. And just flew out of there.
This is how far behind I am in modern day music. Because you went to a show last night at the Moda Center.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dusty took his daughter to a show at the Moda Center.
Two nights ago, three nights ago,
something like that. I have no idea who either of these people are.
And Sleep Token had a bill. The one of their songs, Caramel, went Billboard Global number one this summer.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Never.
That's where music.
That's why
now.
When someone's like, "No, you've heard this song," I'm like, "Be careful about that."
Well, I mean, I think new stuff. That's probably true because it is like just kind of so all over the place now. But I had to get up the butt crack of dawn because I had to go film a commercial this morning. Which, if you're watching Blazers games this year, I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to get bombarded with my face during Blazers games.
Well, you're on TV.
Well, no, during the game. Now you're getting the commercial.
Yeah. Are you not allowed to say the commercial?
I mean, I can say it. It's Jack in the Box.
Jay and the Bee, dude.
Yeah, Jack. Look,
two tacos. Can I get two tacos for free for life?
Look, man, when I walked out, I was like, oh, man, I forgot my food. Normally, I bring my lunch bag. And I had the prop sandwich, which I ate a little bit of on camera, which that's going to be awkward of me just nong, 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 nong down on a chicken sandwich during that commercial. But I was like, I had another one that was still wrapped that was just there for the set. And as I'm walking out, I'm like, I'm taking this. I'm taking this with me. I don't have a lunch. I'm taking this chicken sandwich with me. That is my tax.
Now, when they shoot the Jack in the Box commercial, are they trying to find the best looking Jack in the Box? Because I don't know if our Jack in the Box down here on Vaughn and 23rd is your best choice of Jack in the Box. Do you case the joint? Like, if you're doing a Plaid Pantry commercial, you don't want to be going in Interstate.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want the bulletproof glass
on Grand and Alder or whatever cross street that is.
So we had a Jack in the Box rep from their sales staff. On their marketing side, that had a couple locations that narrowed it down for us. And we ended up on one on McLaughlin. And that's just because of the setup inside. It allowed us to move around and track with a camera.
Jack in the Box on McLaughlin.
Yeah.
In Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
on the big strip there.
Yep.
Honk your horn if you're driving on 99 in Milwaukee.
So I've covered a big swath of the greater Portland area this morning, from Newburgh to Milwaukee to here.
Newburgh to Milwaukee is probably not a fun drive.
Nope, it was an hour and 10 minutes, which is why I was up at 5:30.
Is that 205 to Oregon City?
Yep, and then pop off at 99 and then boogie up.
Look at me knowing South Portland.
That. Yeah, look.
To be fair, I've worked two jobs in Milwaukee in the last 10
years.
Say,
of this region, like the Portland region, the southeast is the one that I spend the least amount of time in, so I'm always like, I think I know where this is at.
I'm in inner southeast a decent amount.
I'm never over there. Never over in that area.
Sometimes I wish our studio was still down at the waterfront.
Well, I mean, the people watching.
Because then, it wasn't just that, but then you could, if I was doing something before my show.
I could
hang around in different places and be inner southeast.
I mean, that spot.
Put a Wayfinder, Produce Row, something like that.
I mean,
that.
It just allows you to access the whole city from right there.
Yeah.
Because you've got so many different ways you can go. But yeah. No, it's been a busy 12 hours. You know, great concert, running into Souk at Sleep Token. That was a, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm happy.
I will tell you, the people watching at the concert last night, because look, the band has got some diehard followers.
And like all bands do.
But the cosplay that goes along with this is a lot.
The cosplay?
Oh, it's like modern day Kiss.
Oh.
There's a lot of makeup. There's a lot of dress. You saw the hots of the world. Their attire of choice. I've seen it on TikTok. Is the like skin tight like black goth dress with the slits up the side, like all the way up, kind of a deal.
All right.
It's that I would. It's the slutty emo is what I would go with.
Slimo.
Yeah, there you go. There was definitely a lot of women in that crowd who thought they were going to sleep with the band that night. I'll go with that.
Maybe there is a lot of women that slept with the band last night.
Hey, could be. Look, again, we don't kink shame here. Whatever, do what you want to do. But the people watching last night was incredible.
I'm sure it was.
Incredible.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a great show for you today. A lot to get to. We're in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll look around at SEC upset watch. We'll also touch in on what might be the deciding factor in Oregon and Indiana this weekend, talking about Utah, Shlepoy. Noon hour, we'll have 10 toes down at 12:15. You can send in your questions, 503-864-6326. The YouTube chat. Questions you have for us that we will unequivocally answer and put 100% our effort into it. So we'll do that as 12:15. I'll keep track of all your questions throughout the day. But when we come back, you missed a game and I didn't.
I missed it live.
Maybe the first time and only time ever. We'll get into Blazers preseason next. Blazers! Zers! I said Zers. Honk your horn if you hate Zers.
If you come out and say Za next, I'm going to reach through this window and backhand you.
How'd you know what I had for dinner last night? Oh, we'll get to Blazer preseason next. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Team here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live in the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. She lets you interact with us throughout the entire day, including 10 Toes Down at 12:15. Get those questions in there. And shout out to my friends over there on the YouTube chat. 1051 The Fan is your YouTube channel. Coming up this hour, this fine 10 o'clock hour, I'm ready to drink. I didn't drink last night.
We're gonna need the caffeine today. That's all I'm saying.
We will get to the North Carolina situation in football here in about 15 minutes, and we'll chat some Mariners, as that was a pretty decent Schultz-sized collapse last night. But we'll start here with Blazers preseason. Now, I was very excited to have been able to watch the game, although I was cursing up and down about some stuff. And I'm going to, you know...
How'd the antenna work out for you?
I'm glad I found it in the garage, because I'm going to, like, scream about this all year, even though I have it figured out. Like, this TV situation is just brutal. I was texting with Sprague last night. It's like it's 2025 and I got rabbit ears out. It's kind of ridiculous.
I kind of want to slap you right now.
But
you don't
have to have the antenna out. I've got cable. It's on there.
Oh, I'm not paying for cable.
But that's like you have free access to the games.
Well, I know. I have to get an antenna for it, though.
Shut up.
That's not free.
Shut up.
Come on, man.
Shut up. You and everybody else is saying this. If you want to say, oh, it's on the 2.2, I get that. That's fine.
Well, I was mad because K2 doesn't stream the 2.2.
Again, you have free access to the game. Well,
for a one-time charge.
Well, it's not free. There you go.
For one-time a one-time charge.
But I got three TVs that
you didn't pay
on.
For your antenna.
I did not. I got mine for free through the team.
But I got three TVs I watch sports on. See, so I got to buy three antennas?
No, you don't. You buy one, and when you're deciding to go use the TV with that antenna, that's where you watch that sporting event.
All right. Well, I know it's a preseason game, and we're not supposed to overreact on preseason games, but you know what? Let's overreact.
I'm not going to overreact. That's what I want to do.
I was having fun on Reddit last night, and people were like, it's a good thing the Blazers looked pretty solid last night. Otherwise, we'd be overreacting in a terrible spot. So that was kind of fun. Initial reactions for me, you know, and then I'll let you go on yours. My initial reactions were I kind of wanted a little more from Donovan Klingon. I know it's just the first game. That's kind of like a minor note to me. I just don't know how that center position is going to look this year. I like have a ton of wants and aspirations because I like the Kling Kong a lot. But I also know it's kind of a weird matchup with Golden State and yes. what's going on down below. Duop Reath had some cool moments, I thought. Mm-hmm. And if he can contribute like that off the bench, that could be really, really cool. But the story of the night is Shaedon Sharpe, at least for me. Mm-hmm. I think Monty Kamara had Monty Kamara night. But Shea came out and was aggressive and shot the ball well and kind of found his space on the floor. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be that you have to be able to create it. But can you just knock him down? And I thought he knocked him down quite well last night.
Yeah, I think my takeaways from watching the condensed clips last night, Shea looked good. Ball go in hoop. Always going to make you look better no matter what. Ball go in hoop, especially from the three-point line. Everything's going to look better. And that's not to say that Shea didn't have a good game. Ball going in hoop is an important part of that, especially for him. Again, I'm not worried about him as a scorer. It's more like, okay, let's tick the boxes on three-point shooting. The three-point shooting, if it's there, he's going to be productive because his rim pressure and his rim finishing is quite literally, he's one of the best rim finishing guards in the entire league.
And I will say, you know, I don't necessarily need, and maybe I'm on an island on this, but I don't need him shooting threes.
You know, you do. You were on
I know
island.
We do in today's NBA. I for sure get that. And especially if he's going to start at a two guard. If he were to start as a two guard or role play.
Or coming off the bench.
Or
either
role
way,
play into a two guard spot. But I'm saying I don't need him to take eight threes a night.
He needs to take at least six.
I'm okay with that.
He needs to average six a game.
I guess my thought was if he continued and played the whole game again. I know it's preseason and I don't want to sound like I'm overreacting. We're more projecting than anything. If he played essentially a half of a game, I definitely don't want 16 shots from three, which I don't think he would take. But I don't know if he needs to take 10. I like this idea of six, to your point.
No, he needs to average six a game.
I like the idea of six. And if you can keep that around, you know, if you can go 3 of 6, 2 of 6, and some nights you're 5 of 6, that's great for me.
36% or better. That is the goal for him this season. If he can be like I believe league average last year was 36.7 or 36.8, he needs to be there. That's where he needs to be. If you are going to be a guy that is a 1-2-3 scorer in the NBA, if the only way you can shoot under that number on volume is if you are so good everywhere else.
Sure.
And look, he is a very good rim finisher. I mean, he's been in the 80th percentile. Like, this is a guy who everybody always thinks about the dunks. He's also really good around the rim on each side, right hand, left hand.
And some of that is just his natural born athleticism.
And he's... Everybody talks about Shaedon's vertical, and yes, it's bonkers.
he can jump higher than I stand.
Yeah, he's also very strong in the air, and I'm not talking about like going up for dunks. Yes, he's strong in the air on dunks, but watch Shaedon when he drives and takes off. He takes off not just straight up; it's with that forward momentum. And when somebody runs into him, he doesn't get knocked backwards. When he initiates contact, he goes through and finishes strong through contact. I think he ended up finishing like 71 or 72% at the rim last season. He's very good there. That's not where I have a question. Hell, I don't have a question about him in the mid-range game. The questions I have about him, and I mentioned this to somebody on the text yesterday, like what does Shaedon need to do to really figure it out? It's three-point shooting and it's playmaking. Now, last night, the assist total is only 2, but he got to spots on the floor that collapses a defense and it's a swing-swing or... You know, the way the offense looked last night, he was getting into his spots, number one, more aggressively, because that's, if you're talking about the mental aspect, my biggest criticism of Shaedon is that he can disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just on offense. It's last night, I think the thing that I liked the most about last night, outside of 3-point shooting, is 6 rebounds. Chauncey Billups said it in the postgame.
Being present.
Look, Shaedon is a guy that my concern about him is that he's guard Andrew Wiggins. Yeah, he can do some stuff. He can certainly score, and he's got this athletic profile. But when you look at the box score at the end of the night, where are the rebounds? Where are the assists? Where are the deflections? Where are the steals? Where are the blocks? It's just scoring. It's like, what else are you bringing? And Shaedon has to be a guy that brings other stuff because he's not this elite defender.
Could we close to a decade of that with CJ, didn't we?
Yeah, and not to, and I hate that you brought that up because this completely craps all over what I'm about to say. But I'm asking, maybe that's his role in the offense, though. You know, we've seen that with CJ in this town. And I know different coaches, different schematics and stuff like that. But maybe that's all, you know, maybe that's all we need Shaedon Sharpe to do is to be a scorer. Maybe he doesn't need to create. Maybe that's why Drew Holiday's around. Maybe that's the bump you get from Denny and Tumani, et cetera, and clinging down below is let those guys create and maybe let Shaden focus on one thing. See, he's still a kid.
But if you're going to be a guy that's a slasher to the rim and wants to score at the rim, you have to make the defense believe that you might not actually put up a shot.
Fair
you
point.
Might dish it off.
That's a great point, because then you can just get physical on him.
And here's the other part of this.
That's a great point, Rust.
So in season two, before he got hurt, and he took on this huge burden early on because everybody got hurt and he had to create, I charted every single one of his pick and rolls and all of his passes out of those situations. In his first, I want to say he's like seven games where he was the primary ball handler. All of the passes are what I call non-penetrating passes. They were either stop and like two-hand chest pass, like keeping the ball moving, or they were flat. They weren't penetrating passes, or they weren't passes that were coming out of the paint, the spray. And as that progressed, I'll see if I can find the graphic and retweet it again, because I think it really highlights his growth and mindset in that time period and kind of like showed what maybe could be there. All of a sudden, it's when you start seeing 45-degree passes, both in and out, because 45-degree passes to the outside are one of two versions. One, you're driving and you're getting help immediately and you're kicking either the short corner or making the skip pass to the other side.
I know what you mean.
Defense is in rotation. The other ones are the 45s that are coming back out when you're in the paint. And Shaden has an ability to get to the paint that sometimes you're like, whoa. And it's not his first step. As athletic as Shaden is, his biggest shortcoming as an athlete when you talk about his profile is his first step. He's not a guy that just blows you away with a first step. It's it's his second step.
Yeah.
That's where he creates
the space.
That's
the jump, yeah.
And you're like, oh. And as he starts to figure that out and sets guys up, because he kind of has to be fair, he has a little bit of a Kobe in him in his triple threat. It's a slow, it's not a hard, like Melo used to give you that hard jab, like real quick, and then
kind of his thing, I would say.
Yeah, where Kobe had that, and Jordan, to the same extent, they did that kind of long lean out. And
with the
kinda,
ball, sort of, sometimes. Yeah,
Shea,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Shea does the same thing.
It's one of my favorite things about Kobe and Michael.
Look, the triple threat stance is making a little bit of a comeback in the sense of like how you integrate it. It's not as long. You're not getting 7-8 seconds of it.
High SGA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, if you can get guys off balance by going slow to fast, slow to slower to back to fast, it's the ability to change gears. He's starting to figure that part of it out. And those penetrating passes that are coming back out, that's where the creation comes from. I don't care about assist totals. The way that Chauncey Billups always phrases this is putting the defense in the chase. And if you can make a pass that puts the defense in the chase that leads to a hockey assist or to somebody else getting some action outside of that, that's what you're looking for. When I talk about creation and playmaking, it's not just assists. Assists are, did a guy make a shot after you pass the ball? It doesn't necessarily mean it's a great creation. So I'm looking more holistically at his creation and playmaking more than the raw assist totals. But I do want to see what I saw last night in that he's good on the glass. Like, that's what you want to see. And not to just all Shaden. I thought two was about as two as you could get. 14 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks in 20 minutes. 4 of 9 from 3. When I started looking at the box score at the end of the night after I got done watching everything, I'm like, 48 threes? Holy crap. 33 free throws? Holy crap. Like, both those things are like, those are good indicators of, hey, getting threes up and getting to the rim and getting to the foul line. Like, those are two good indicators kind of coming out of that.
Yeah, those were some positives. I'd like to take a break and come back and stick right here with Blazers because there is a little bit of an elephant in the room from last night, but I also know that it's a little preseason, and I'd like to get to that, and we'll chat about the big money man down at the four and his performance last night. We'll do that next, but first, there's Rust with Sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll cruise over to North Carolina. Try to piece together the hell's going on there. They might be trying to piece whatever the hell is going on there. But we're having a Blazer conversation here, and I'm glad we both agree that Shea looked good last night.
He did.
As Bob says on the YouTube chat, Shea was the best player on the court last night on either team, and I might not disagree with you, friend. I might not disagree with you. It was nice to see, and I think that's what's tough. And as we get into the Jeremy Grant conversation from last night, I think that's what's really tough. And this is kind of what I was trying to say yesterday, and I don't think it landed very well. And so I'll take a mulligan today and try. Is I think what's really tough about preseason sometimes is the NBA, deservedly at a lot of times, and maybe sometimes at not, doesn't feel like all guys are invested at all time in the regular season. You know, that cliche that goes around. I think a lot of that's warranted, and some of it might be picking on the league. That I think preseason can be a little bit of tough on that aspect as well. And that's why you might see guys like Jrue Holiday or Jeremy Grant not have great games from a shooting perspective, because they kind of already know what they are. They kind of know what they can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if vets, I'm not saying these guys specifically, I'm definitely not saying it about Jrue Holiday. I'm not saying these guys specifically are taking regular season games off, but if vets on a whole are taking regular season games off, you're for sure taking preseason games off, which is, to my argument again,
it's a ramp.
It's why watching preseason basketball is a little challenging for me.
If you talk to anybody that's been in the league for more than 5-6 years, they'll all tell you it's about a ramp up. You have to, like, you can't take it lightly. You can't just go out there and jog.
Now, I think what's tough is due to the off-season noise and just comments made, you know, whether positive or negative from Jeremy Grant, I think it's just the aesthetic of last night is what's brutal.
Ball didn't go in hoop.
Ball did not go in hoop.
But that's the thing is, I don't care about that stuff. Like, Jeremy has earned the benefit of the doubt over the last 5 years of being a good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, last season was a disaster. There's no way around that offensively. He just could not shoot from two.
Get your thoughts in, 503-864-6326.
But what did you see from Jeremy Grant, which is why the reason I still think he's going to start?
Rebounds.
Defense. That's what you saw last night. You saw Jeremy be plugged in on that. When you have Jrue to Jeremy, they're going to switch everything.
Yeah, and I think that's what's tough when you have such a young team like this is that you need that veteran presence that can show you defense, especially if that's what you're going to hang your hat on, which is what everybody, you know, locally, this show, you and nationally are saying the Blazers are going to be really good at is defensive. And maybe that is what gets Jeremy Grant continuous minutes in the starting lineup. Again, I don't want to overreact to a preseason game because they are vets, but
I don't care about shooting.
I will double down on it though. The aesthetic of his shooting was bad last night.
I don't care about shooting for guys in the preseason. It's good. Like Shea going 4 of 8. That's good. But like, I need to see it from you throughout the season, but it's For me, preseason is not, and same thing with Summer League. It's not about box scores. It's about what I see.
Mm-hmm. It's eyeballs.
And for me, Shaden, ball going hoop, again, great. You want to see that. You're going to hear me say that 82 times this season.
But I would argue my eyeballs said that Jeremy Grant wasn't very good last night.
Offensively, he wasn't. Ball not going hoop. But what I want Jeremy Grant out there to do is to play defense. I want him to be a switchable guy. I want him to be a guy that's going to take the right shots at the right time. Which is, if it's a catch and shoot three, great. If it's attacking and closeout, great. If you've got a mismatch in the mid post, great. Whatever that is. There's 82 of these things. It's not making excuses. It's just, how do you go about it? What is the thing that you do? And from Jeremy, the thing that you want to see from this team in talking to the coaching staff, talking to the front office, talking to players, they all believe in who they are fundamentally defensively. Like, that's a very, very, very real thing. The one caveat to that is, what do you need to do to end every single defensive possession?
Make a stop. Well, what do you rebound?
Ding, 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 ding. That is where they're a little iffy on. Is,
and that might be what I'm talking about with Klingon. Like,
he was insane on the offensive glass, but defensive glass won. But you look at, and this is where, again, this is where I want to see Shea. This is where I want to see Jeremy. Both those guys, 5 and 6 defensive rebounds. Oh, sorry, 5 and 4. 5 and 4 defensive rebounds. They came in and helped on the glass. Do I want Donovan grabbing the ball and outletting it? Great. That'd be fantastic. But also, you want other guys coming in and igniting the break and not having to stall. Mm-hmm. Grab the ball and go. That was the one thing that popped out with that starting group.
Tempo. Let's go. They were
getting after it. And I thought Jeremy was a big part of that, too. And that if he's out there, again, box score stuff, man, it's whatever. But Jeremy did have 3 steals. He is getting in passing lanes. He is being disruptive. Those are the things that I want to see from him. That is what he is out there to do, is to be this switchable hybrid defender that allows them to deploy Drew, Two, and him and just be like, deal with this. Have fun. And you've got Donovan Klingon on the back line, and then whoever else is out there, whether it's Shea, whether it's Chris, whether it's Denny. I mean, Denny not starting, people are like, oh, Denny, Jeremy. It's like, Chauncey Billups is going to flirt with all kinds of different lineups. He has already said that. He is going to go through various starting groups. I did find it interesting that Denny was the first guy to not start the game.
Well, I wonder if some of that is Euro.
Certainly recovering from Eurobasket.
Yeah,
I do believe there's a little bit of the way media day went. There's this perception, and make Shea feel probably a little better, give him the opportunity to go out there and sink or swim, and he swam last night.
I also think, and we talked about this yesterday, I'm going to come at this with you as we're talking Blazers throughout the season. I'm going to try to relate to the more casual fan, and when it comes to what the lineup was last night, dare I argue that is the lineup the casual fan wants, based on names on the back of the jersey, not necessarily names on play. Because no, I think the casual fan desperately wants Shaedon Sharpe to be the guy.
Yeah, but I think they also don't want Jeremy to start. It's Denny starting.
Oh, that might be fair, but I'm looking at it more from the Shaedon situation,
sure.
And that's why I thought it was fascinating. Again, let's not overhype the starting lineup, because it will be different tomorrow. Yeah. And I want it to be different tomorrow. I like a coach that's going to mess with a lineup. And look, we've seen this with Warriors teams in the past. Starting lineups aren't always the guys that get the most minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, how do we want to start? What kind of tempo pace do we want to go with?
Yep.
Do we want to slow down? Do we want to be defensive early? Or do we want to run and gun?
Or do we want to have a little more offense coming off the bench or another ball handler? Like, those are the things you kind of look at.
But I'm going to triple down, quadruple down, that the casual fan wants Shaedon to start because we want him to be the next Damian Lillard.
Yeah, but
the next great Portland
Trailblazer. That doesn't happen if he's not good enough to start.
Some of your thoughts on the fan text line and the YouTube chat. The problem with Shea is we've seen these bright spots before, but we need to see from him his consistency of these kinds of performances. I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
No.
I think that's a lot of it. The talent is there on Shea. It's always been there. The fact that you're a top 10 pick and had a practice at Kentucky.
Yes.
We know the talent is there. I also thought this one, and maybe we didn't give enough flowers as well. I thought Shea looked good and started to answer some of the concerns we had going in. But honestly, I thought Two was impressive.
Yeah.
If he can add a bit more to his offensive game, oh boy, watch out. I heard Swag kind of oomphing some Tumani moments earlier in their show. And that's true. Tumani Kamara could become the new giant fan favorite. You know,
look, I have seen some folks that I know who work in the NBA analytics department that have like, they're like, look, Two's a couple years older, but I could see a Jimmy Butler light trajectory with him.
Whoa. Don't get my sports pants tied. I love Jimmy Butler.
But if you go look at the early genesis of Jimmy Butler, he wasn't the guy that we know now. It was a guy that early on was, you know, a late draft pick that kind of worked his way into some stuff, got some more ball handling duties.
Oh, it was
defensive, tenacious nightmare.
It was Marquette all over again after D-Wade. We were like, when did this guy learn how to score?
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler became the same thing because they were both defensive studs coming into the league.
This, honestly, it's the same trajectory as Wes Matthews. It's why I've used Wes so much. They're different players. But Wes Matthews is the guy for me for two, because Wes came here as a guy who couldn't shoot, you know, early in his career, worked with Jeff Hornacek, basically begged him to help him fix his jumper because he was being taken off the floor his rookie year with the Utah Jazz. Then he got to Portland and was like an okay shooter, and then he started working on that. And then it was attacking closeouts, and then it was posting up James Harden in the playoffs and hunting him maliciously. Like, he just added something to his game every single year. And I look at two, it's like, I don't need you to be Jimmy Butler.
Right.
But if all of a sudden you can attack a mismatch off the bounce,
I will buy a jersey tomorrow.
Like, two is one of my favorite players. Like,
I know just, he is. Like, I know he is.
I love him as a dude, but I love his game. And I think he does have a little bit more. I think he can work as a screener in, like, pick and roll game and working out of the short roll. Like, he's got some stuff to him. Like, when you've got 6'8", 240-pound forwards who can just do stuff, that's like the most singular valuable thing in the league. Now, it's a sliding scale of how much stuff you can do, because like with Denny, because he's this 6'9", 250-pound forward who can put the ball down, all of a sudden it bends a defense. You're just like, yeah, there's not a lot we can really do with this defensively, can we? It's like, no, you can't. And so when you have that, that's where I want to see. But all in all, good game last night. Everybody's like, oh, you know, they lost. I don't care. The reserves came in.
Nobody cares.
They had a 21-point lead. Like, you saw what you wanted to see as far as, like, tempo, defense, Shea knocking down some shots, getting up volume threes, getting to the free throw line. I mean,
nobody in San Francisco is freaking out that the Warriors were down by 21 to the Blazers.
But I will say, if you want an earmark for this, 23 offensive rebounds? Holy crap.
I want that.
That is crashing the offensive glass.
Blazers preseason part two mañana here in Portland, so you'll be able to check that out. We'll probably circle back on this around come Monday. It'll be all right come Monday. So we'll keep you updated on Blazers situation. Your thoughts are always welcome on the fan text line, 503-864-6326. We'll slide over to college football, and what is going on? Is the end already here? And do both of you agree? What's going on in North Carolina? 105.1 The Fan. Now and then I get insecure from all the pain. I'm so ashamed. Coming up on the 11 o'clock hour, my favorite hour, the Mariners push to the brink, so we'll get to that. I also want to take a peek around the SEC as we go into a major, major weekend in the SEC, and we'll talk a little more Ducks Indiana as we ramp up to that huge college game day situation in Eugene on Saturday, where you can catch all coverage right here on The Fan, home of the Ducks. Sports Saturday will start at 6 a.m. pregame at 8 to 10:30, and then we'll send you to Jerry and Jorgie and Dusty, and then the game, and then post game, and we'll just have a whole wham fam bam about it on Saturday. So we'll get to that in hour number two, but we'll step aside into college football a little bit. And it's funny that we all kind of see this coming, yet once it finally comes, you're kind of like, say what? I think the most surprising part about this Bill Belichick situation in North Carolina, not only is he about to make the board behind me, which is a list of topics that are not worth talking about unless there's new information, is that he might be on the same page as them and saying, you know what? Maybe I should get out of this. Because Bill Belichick does not strike me as the kind of guy that when he realizes he's in over his head, he will bow out. But that's what this kind of seems like to me.
I mean, we all saw where this was going.
You know, I thought they might be like 6-6 this year. Because I still think Belichick can coach. I think he's over his skis in college.
Yes.
In terms of recruiting. And even though he brought in NFL guys and wanted to turn the college model into an NFL program, I thought there was a chance that could work. I really did.
I always thought that this was him doing something for a couple of years and then making it so old Stevie B could take over.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always looked at this. I didn't think they were going to be this dumpster fire when this first happened, but the Jordan Hudson of it all.
Yeah.
Did you see the report that came out of the Getty photos?
Mm-mm.
Last week, I think it was 40, it was either 40% or 60%. So if somebody can correct me, but I believe it was 40% of all Getty photos for North Carolina last week were of Jordan Hudson.
She doesn't even work for the team.
And they're just an, like, just,
I mean, she is a hottie.
I mean, sure. If that's your thing, cool.
She does look like she would eat me alive, though.
100%. And I wonder how much she's eating Bill Belichick alive.
Like, ooh, is that kind of hot?
I mean, you usually have to pay extra for that. But hey, there's just so much crap around it. And like how much of her fingerprints, like she's not doing this and she's not doing this and she's not allowed on campus and she's not allowed. Like the fact that all of that stuff is there lets you know just how dysfunctional things are and that there's not a lot of institutional control with things.
Yep.
And the iron fist of Bill Belichick in New England is not present in North Carolina and Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and then you're starting to see that some guys, you know, it sounds like there was a big fight in the locker room, which
I don't care about that stuff.
But you've got an assistant coach who could be facing recruiting violations. I'll go back to this. I'm mostly surprised and mostly kind of blown away that he can't coach. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's a motivation thing or what, but maybe the days in New England weren't the fact that the dynasty was crumbling and it wasn't Tom Brady anymore. And I don't want to get into, was it a Brady or Belichick thing? I think that ship has sailed a long time.
Yeah.
We don't need to step in that.
Belichick is still one of, if not the greatest NFL coaches of all time.
But I think we're kind of forgetting that the coaching was starting to lose it at the end of New England too. And maybe we gave him the benefit of the doubt a little bit too much. In that the roster had turned over, you know, all those studs from the run were gone, whether it was, you know, the Matt Lights of the world on the offensive line or the Edelmans and Gronks and Brady's and of the playmaker stuff and so all those littered of Hall of Famers on defense. The roster turned over and the roster over turned out to be bad. Now, that was his fault, but we gave him the benefit of the doubt that he could still coach. And I think what we're seeing now is, he might not have been able to coach for the last 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
And that's a crazy thought, that you're the best ever and then lose it. That's why I never thought North Carolina was going to a playoff.
No.
I never thought they were going to challenge for the ACC, but I thought that they would be a stable program with fundamental coaching, and it's just the exact opposite.
I think that for me, where I thought that this might work, because if you go back when this happened, I talked myself into the, well, you know, if the Belichickian, you know, dark side of the force kind of a deal is allowed to be applied and adhered to, it's a different approach, but I could see it working.
Mm-hmm.
Herm Edwards at Arizona State did not work at all. And this is honestly, it's looking like that.
And this is why if you're a fan of a program or an alumni and you're looking at John Gruden, ooh, be careful what you wish for. Now, I think he's a very different coach and a very different motivator than both of those guys. And that might play better in college football.
I think the culture stuff is very different from those three guys.
But this NFL to college thing, I'd be very, very careful on. I'd be very, very careful on. Like, I don't even know if Pete were to go back, who had great success, I don't know if he would do a good job these days. Because it's just such a different game. And I loved what Josh Pate said this morning on Dirt and Sprague. For all those people that think college is about to be the next NFL, nope, it's still so different.
Yes.
And this is Exhibit A.
Yes. And I think you have to look, you're not a head coach in college or the NFL, a successful one, without being a type A guy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
It's why I and the national media and anyone locally that's a fan of it love Dan Lanning.
Yep.
He's the perfect model.
And so, but I also think because you were that and if you're successful in the NFL, there's probably enough arrogance to think, oh, I can do this here. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's with guys that aren't nearly as good. So
it's unzipping your pants, dropping it on the table and saying, I'm Bill Belichick. And that doesn't resonate with these kids.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's that if you are not familiar enough with the college game and enough facets and enough opportunities, you're not going to be able to make the necessary adjustments. And I think there's an arrogance that comes along with that. And I'm not just saying that about Belichick. I'm just saying that in general. Like, if you're very successful at one thing and there's another version of that one thing, you probably think, Well, I did it here. Why wouldn't I be able to do it here?
Yeah, it'd almost be like if you take our jobs, for example, it's like, say, you know, oh, I'm really good at sports radio. I'll go to NPR and be just as good. And it's like, those are very different beasts. Yeah. Those are very different beasts.
How you go about it, the preparation, and how it's all applied, and the world that you move in is just very, very different.
Yeah, coming in on the text line, I wonder how much Bill Belichick not being able to relate to youth and younger football players play into it. I think that's spot on. Zach on the YouTube, he's old. Mental capacities are not there anymore. I think that's a lot of it. I think somebody felt that their time in New England came to an end unceremoniously and did not get the flowers you deserve, and you're bitter about it. You're bitter about it. Look, my grandmother.
There's probably that motivation in there.
My grandmother, how do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, my grandmother is 88 years old, and she is not the happiest person in the world right now she's old.
I'll tell you right now, Bill Belichick clearly relates to a kid.
Okay. Loaded second hour coming to hang out with us here. Mariners are pushed to the brink. Can they come up with game five, or did they lose the series yesterday afternoon in Detroit? We'll get to that next. Loaded second hour. We're having fun. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.